My name is Rory Burnett, and if you're new here, how we do church at Restoration Fellowship is we have a shared leadership model. So you'll see different people up here speaking. You'll see different people doing things in ministry. And our goal and our heart behind this is that the fullness of the giftings that God has poured out on his church, that we see that worked out with people who are gifted in those areas, not just the guys that are paid or whatever. So we really felt convicted about that a few years ago. And so we've been walking that out. And guys, I'm telling you, to see the people in this room and not in this room, right, because they're doing things that have walked into the gifting that God has given them has been so encouraging that we have had more people step up to the plate and say yes to the Lord than we ever have before. And so I'm just so grateful. And I'm so grateful for this building. Who's grateful for this building? Clint just came up to me and was telling me that this is the building he got saved in when that wasn't even here. And so the amount of like prayer nights and worship nights, this is where we used to have what was called Fire in the Night, where there was a bunch of teenagers, which I'd love for it to happen again, teenagers. A bunch of teenagers, and then these are, that's right, cleansing stream. But teenagers, we'd come on Friday night, and we'd come at like 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock and start worship, and we'd do 24 hours, or no, we'd do 12 hours of prayer and worship, mostly led by the youth. And so it was so cool. For years we did that. I'm really glad to be in this room. So thank you guys for being a little uncomfortable today. So, all right. So we are in our activation series, and specifically we've done this sub-series of the spiritual gifts. As we've been talking through these, this is not an in-depth theological discussion necessarily on the spiritual gifts, but this is how does this look activated in our body? We have done those before, so please feel free to go online if you want to look at some more in-depth. We've basically done all of these in years past, so just search online and you can find them. But today is session number 7, and it's on faith, miracles, and giving. So as we're talking about this today, and again, thinking back on this whole series on the spiritual gifts, is these gifts together, as we grow them together, and I've talked about this before, where we need to think about the gifts like this, where they're going to overlap, they're needed together, and sometimes they grind us the wrong way, right? You guys get that, where it's like, I have my own gifting, I have my own calling, and someone else that might have a different calling and a different gifting, it's like, man, I don't know if I fully agree with that. And that's really just the Lord inside of us as the body of Christ saying, you need to work on this thing. So if today or in any message through this series, if you feel that it's kind of grinding on you a little bit, kind of making you annoyed, that's probably the Lord saying, we're going to sharpen this part out of you, right? We're going to get that all the way through so that we can be a bride that is made ready. That's the whole goal of the church. That's the whole goal of the spiritual gifts, is that Jesus can pour his love out on his bride and they will be made ready for his return. Amen? Okay. So here at Restoration, we are giving room to all the gifts. And I think sometimes churches that I've been a part of, they'll gravitate towards whatever the strongest gift is on the leadership team, right? Have you guys felt that? If you go to a guy that's very gifted in evangelism, that's going to be an evangelistic church. If you go to a place where it's very prophetic driven, that's a prophetic church. We are trying to say, God, we recognize that the gifts for the body are for all the body. We need the fullness of the gifts so that your love and your direction can come and that we can be made ready. So that's what we're doing. If you have a gift, just say yes to the Lord. All right, let's start with basically the same chapter and verses that we've read every single series or message. Is 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start in verse 4. And I'm just going to read this with you, but I'll give you a moment to turn or flip in your iPhones. We might have some Bibles underneath the seat if you didn't bring your Bible. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, and here's the key part here, as he wills. So the first thing that we're going to understand is these are gifts from God that he gives freely to his children. This is not, as we receive a more powerful gift, this does not equal character. Godly character and the manifestation of a gift do not equal one another. Even though they should increase at the same time, we as believers have to judge by the word. Okay? That's the most important thing, that as gifts are coming or as messages are coming, whoever has the mic here, we are not the authority of all things and you have to listen to us. We are saying yes to the Lord, pouring out a message to you, or there might be a gift. We're pouring out a gift to you, but as the body of Christ, it's judging by the word to say, yes, this is God, or no, it's not. Amen? So that's the first thing that we have to realize with these giftings. Something I want to say as we are walking through this is this idea of this earnestly desire. So we are going to be a people as a Restoration Fellowship and in our life groups that earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And this is what that means, is that we're going to give it a go. Right? You understand what that means? We're going to give it a go by saying, if you feel as you walk through the Spirit of man, this is really scary to step into this gift, what we're going to encourage in Restoration Fellowship, go for it. This is okay to make a mistake. It's okay to get a little messy because we're here to love and support one another through this. Okay, let's start in the gift of faith. So the gift of faith, this is a very interesting gift because... Right, who as a believer shouldn't have faith? Nobody, right? It's a weird gift. It's like, how is this a gift if we're all called to faith and that we're only saved by grace through faith? Okay, but it says very clearly that there's a gift of faith. And so we're going to talk about that, and I want to separate that out of your mind real quick, that we have the faith that we walk in as believers, and then we have the supernatural gift of faith that is just a little bit different, even though it's the same word. So what this looks like is that when someone has the gift of faith, it's a supernatural emboldening that God has given that says, I believe, God, that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you say you're going to do. And so therefore, I am going to walk this out. So this faith is saying that God said it, I'm going to believe it. And it's contagious to those around us. And if anyone knows somebody with the gift of faith, you know when you get around that person, you're like, man, I can do it. I can do it all. My gift is all of a sudden emboldened because of this person that walks in this gifting that says, yes, I can do this. The gift, what I'll call it, is like a spark plug. This gift is a spark plug because it works when someone has just a little faith, and when they walk in and walking in believing that God will show up, it gets others to ignite just a little bit more. And it's like, man, I'm already, my gifting is kind of like this fume that's coming off of me. And this guy with the gift of faith comes up and boom, it's ignited and saying, yes, I can walk in this gifting today. And when God fills someone with the gift of faith, it's like an explosive shock or electricity to others. Faith is something that comes from the Spirit, and as we commune with the Spirit, we know the Father's will, right? And so this gift is very important of we're looking to the Father because we, again, what is it? We know we know that he is who he says he is, and we know that he does what he says he'll do. But that only comes from looking to the Father and saying, you are good, and Spirit, as you move, because the Spirit is a comforter from the Father. Instead, I'm going to look to you and you're going to ignite this in me because I know you. So that this gift is the foundation of intimacy. Okay? We have to have that foundation of intimacy to move forward. And when we have that, this, like, people that have this gift, they can push this doubt and they can push this fear away in walking in it. And it is so extraordinarily beautiful. And we're going to talk about a couple of stories around that in just a moment. So Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. And so what this means as we hear this, that the context is you have to be able to be close enough to the Father and the Spirit to hear him. You have to be close enough in the word to walk out what he wills. Amen? An example in the Bible of this burst of faith is Elijah in 1 Kings 18. And what I'm sure most of us know this story, but it's Elijah, and he challenges the priests of Baal to come and says, hey, we're going to set up two altars, and if your God makes fire or if my God makes fire, whoever does, we're going to win, right? And then he went further in this burst of gift of faith and says, I'm going to pour water on it. I'm going to do all of these things to give myself a disadvantage because I'm going to tell you that my God is going to show up. Okay, so there was this burst of faith, and and we know it's a burst of faith because immediately after that, Elijah runs in fear. It's like, whoa, wait, what just happened there? You just did this amazing thing, and now you're running afraid? But didn't you believe that God is who he says he is? And he does what he says he's going to do? And so what we see with Elijah is that he had a burst of the gift of faith, but there was no sustaining through the knowledge of God. Okay, that was such a, like for me, like my heart has been so convicted of like, God, I want to see these miracles, right? Who in here is like, I said that before. God, I just want to see a miracle. I just want to see amazing things happen. And then I will believe, right? Gotcha. Yeah, right? I have said that before of like, God, if you will only show up, then I will believe. But that's not how he works, right? Sometimes this gift comes, but we need that knowledge of God and push towards the love of Christ. And he will build our character and he will pour out blessings in this way. The gift of faith breaks the power of unbelief. And how do I know this? Because does anyone know who has the gift of faith naturally? Okay. Everyone? Okay, the answer is children. Yes, that guy right there that's raising his hand, that guy in the hat right there. You have the gift of faith. Children automatically have the gift of faith. Why? Because you tell them and you're like, yeah, that's true. That's true. Dragons exist? Absolutely. Can I have a pet dragon? They have this automatic gift of faith because they're simplistic in mind and they come to the Father with saying, I have full need. I need you to make my cereal, I need you to pick out my clothes, and I need you to teach me how to go to the bathroom. So yes, of course. And so as we, and Jesus calls us, be like the little children, come to me as a little child in full faith, in full believing that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he's going to do. So for us, all you adults in here, as our children are learning the same thing that we're learning in here, as they learned about the gift of tongues last week, and they learn about the gift of healing, and they start saying that of like, Dad, can you pray over this because it hurts? Or can we go over here and pray over this person because I feel like I have a word from them? We are not to say, oh my gosh, that's so cute. Yeah, maybe later. It's, I'm going to follow this kid because he's got the faith to do it. And we're going to be stirred up in the gift of faith and to do what God has called us into doing through our giftings, but we're not going to place them as lower citizens in the kingdom of heaven. As far as Jesus is concerned, they are elevated above those who think they are wise in their own minds. So we submit under our children in this aspect of saying, teach me how to have faith. Because I know for me, and I know for a lot of you guys in here, we have had experiences in life that have told us that God is not who he says he is. And he does not do what he says he's going to do, right? And because of our experience, our hearts are becoming calloused. But the gift of faith is a softening. It's a simplicity of heart. And it's saying, step into what you've been called into, because he is good and he is faithful. That's what we sang about this morning, is that God is faithful to do what he says he's going to do. And so allow the children to soften the calluses in your heart, because it's good. A couple of stories about what this faith or what this gift of faith looks like. So the Roar. So Breezy has knows somebody that her grandpa introduced her to, a lady by the name of Janine, and she's a missionary in Colombia. And a couple of times, I mean, I have never met her, but the stories that I've heard, this lady operates in the gift of faith. I heard a story of the first time Stan, her grandpa, saw this. This is Renee's dad. That she needed food for these orphans that she feeds. And so they walked into the store. They had no money to buy the food, and they filled up 10 carts. And so he's, you know, Stan's over there pushing carts around, and he's asking Janine, he's like, how are we going to pay for this? And she's like, God's going to pay for it. What are you talking about? He's like, but how? I get what you're saying, but how is he going to pay? I have no idea, but all I know is when I get up there, there's going to be the money. And so they walk up with 10 baskets, and I actually had never heard how they got paid, or if there was like money in the account or someone walked up. Yeah, there was money in the account. So by the time they got up there, she got a notice, hey, someone just deposited the money in your account. Boop. She scans the card, paid for the groceries. They were out of there. Wow. I want faith like that. When God says, do it, we say, but God, if you would just, man, if you would just give me a little bit, like, just give me the money for it before, and then I'll move, right? We just saw that with the carpet. We've been waiting for the money to do the carpet for 20 years. But when we said yes to the Lord, we said, we're going to do it. Here's the date. God supernaturally provided the finances, boom, like that. We didn't have to take out of the church budget at all to do that carpet. That's a dumb thing to do, right, carpet? No, God wants to do it. But he is waiting for us to say yes. And this, guys, this gift of faith, this is how missionaries live daily out in the field. Like when we were in Africa, that's how our friends lived, with that school and the prayer room that they set up. They had zero money to do it. They actually are below their budget right now. But God said, if you will do it, I will provide. And so they said, yes, they signed the lease. I don't know how we're going to pay for the lease, but we're going to fill it with furniture and music equipment to have this prayer room. And we're going to buy bread for the orphans that come up and need to eat every day. And we're going to start ordering the furniture to supply for the school. And they did. And when they started, they had everything that they needed. It was like $10,000 worth of supplies that they needed to start. And because they said yes, boom, it was there. That's the gift of faith. It usually doesn't work safely. Do you guys know what I'm saying about that? It doesn't work safely. It's saying, if you will step out, I will meet you. And in our hearts, it's like for me, like there's been times where I've stepped out in faith and I fell flat on my face. Oh my gosh. Did I turn from the Lord? No, he is faithful. But we have to put our trust in him. And again, I have been there where God has not showed up in the way that I think he's going to show up. And I've felt myself to be offended at God and the church. But he's saying, let me in. Let me breathe on you, and I will bring you peace. I will bring you love. And I think I have a typo in here of James. And it's actually, I believe it's James 1. Is that James 1 or James 2? What is the prophet? Nope, I think I'm right. So in James 2:14, this is faith without works. So we're going to get into the gift of miracles, and so this is a good segue. So James 2:14-26, and I'm just going to read it. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Can faith save him? Maybe, I don't know. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and the one of you says, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Right? You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Right? So he's comparing this thing to your spirit and your body. If you have them separated, they're nothing. But they work together. So let's talk about more working that out, which is the gift of miracles. So the gift of miracles is very interesting because right before it, like in my mind, I've always had like the gift of miracles is the same as like gift of healing. It's not. Because it says some have the gift of healing by the same spirit, some the gift of miracles by the same spirit. So what is miracles? And guys, strap in. This is going to get weird really quick. But test everything by the word. And by the Spirit. Okay, we watched, who's seen The Finger of God? You guys know that movie? Oh, man. Guys, there's a movie, and I'm going to give you a couple of things to kind of explore on your own, but there's a documentary called The Finger of God that was filmed in 2008, 2009, right in there. And it's a movie about this skeptic, this guy that was like, I don't really believe God shows up the way people are saying. So he went with a video camera, and he started going to these moves of God all over the world and filming what was going on. So with healings. So gift of miracles that he saw in this was, it starts out with gold dust. And it starts out with gems falling from heaven. And all of this stuff, or gold teeth, people who had like teeth problems, and then during worship, God would replace their rotten tooth with a gold tooth. And these people are like, I don't even believe in the Spirit, and my teeth are changed out. Okay? So that's what we're talking about, gift of miracles, and I see a lot of you guys going like, oh gosh, here we go. Who believes that we are the bride of Christ? All right, well, yeah. If we believe in the Word, we believe that. Me as a husband, I gave Breezy a ring with a diamond in it when I proposed to her. And that was great, right? It was a really cool moment. But my desire has been from then is I want to adorn her in jewels. I want to adorn her in good and beautiful things. Now, do I do it every day? No. Do I do it in bursts of like, I love you and I'm going to buy you this, whatever it is, these earrings or this necklace that make you look beautiful or enhance your beauty? I heard you, Lindsay. Jeez. She's like, boo. Okay. So the same as the father, the bridegroom, as he's saying, be ready. He is going to pour out things. And guys, I would not be up here preaching about it if I have not seen it in person. When I was 15, I was a part of this internship in Kansas City, and this was when there was a revival kind of moving in IHOP and that area. And we're in this worship night, and one night we're praying, and my roommate Toby, who was a super troubled kid, he came in here. The Lord was encountering him. And all of a sudden, like, it was like everything started to sparkle a little bit in the church. And I was like, not on this wavelength, I'll just say. I'm a Baptist boy. And all of a sudden, I'm like, this is weird. I'm like, it's probably humidity, like we're in Missouri. And we end the worship night, and we're trying to gather up all of our roommates to go home. And we can't find Toby, and he's underneath the first row of seats. And I go and I look over, and I'm like, I like pull him out because like he's not really there. And I pull him out, and he's just worshiping Jesus. And I'm like, dude, we gotta go. Like the car is here. We gotta go. Worship's done. And he's like, Rory. He's like, do you see him? And he was looking, he could not look me in the face. He was looking around and he was like, they're so beautiful. And there's angels everywhere that he's seeing. And the reason I know this to be true is he reached out his hand to me, and then he reached out his other hand. In one hand, there was gold, gold dust appearing out of thin air on his hand. And on the other hand, it was oil. And he was so filled with joy. And this is, I'm so mad at him to this day for this. But then he goes and he starts laughing and he just licks it off his hand. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm like, don't do that. I'm like, that was gold dust. He's like, I know. Aren't they beautiful? You know, and then it would happen again and oil would come up and gold would come up and he'd lick them off again. And we could not get him to stop. And so we're trying to get him out of this room for an hour and a half. And guys, I'm telling you, the Lord, I'm just going to claim it. That was for me. I did not believe that God could do this because it was pointless. Why would you do that, God? And for God, the revelation that I got that night as I was sitting in bed and I'm just like struggling with this, what the heck was that? Where is this in your word, Lord? And he says, I love Toby. And I wanted to open up the heavens for him to see so that he would encounter my heart. And so in that moment, I said, all right, Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want to do, I am here for it. And so that was my first encounter with the gift of miracles. The second one that we found was me and some guys, when we were kind of college age, we started this house called the Johanna House. And I'm sure I've told this story before. But we would have family dinners. We'd have these worship nights where people would come over and we'd just worship the Lord. And then we'd eat, usually tacos because we didn't have a lot of money. And I mean, we were all just like poor guys. Like sometimes we wouldn't even have food. But we'd have, before family dinners, we'd be like, all right, we're planning on family dinners. Whoever wants to come, come. And so this would be on Tuesday night. Monday or Tuesday morning, I would walk out my front door and there would just be boxes of food where people, and it was always a story of like, oh man, I was left in out of town and I knew you guys needed food because you're poor. And so I just brought, like cleared out my fridge. What, I mean, there's always, you know, it wasn't like a supernatural God dropped manna. It was some, you know, Mary dropped her box of food before she left. And I remember one specific night we had a pound of ground beef and there was like 23 people that came over. And I don't know if you guys have cooked a pound of ground beef, but like I can't even feed my toddlers with a pound of ground beef. And we just said, thank you, Jesus. And we said, we're having family night. We're not asking for anything. We're just going to cook. And so we cooked the taco meat, and we got out some taco shells and some tortillas that we had. And the rule at the house was you don't look down. You bless the Lord and you keep serving. And so we did every single night that we had this, every Tuesday night, whoever was had the spoon. And so I remember Ryan Searle was on that night, and he was scooping up tacos and handing them out. And so finally, like at the end of the night, he looks down, and he's like, guys, has no one eaten tonight? What? And everyone had eaten and had seconds. And we had about 3 pounds of ground beef left over after that night. And I was like, what? So that's a gift of miracle where we said yes to the Lord. He said, you guys open up your house and feed all these people. And we didn't say, God, we don't have food. We said, thank you, Jesus, for this ground beef and these couple of tortillas. And we're just gonna bless your name and keep serving. And people were encountered by the presence of the Lord, not because of the taco meat. They got their bellies full because Jesus loved them. They got encountered when we looked upon his face in worship and said, Lord, bless your name. And so this gift of miracles partnered with this gift of faith, we don't know what it's like, and guys, guaranteed it's going to be uncomfortable. This walk of the Christian walk is uncomfortable. If you don't want an uncomfortable walk, this is not the religion for you. This is not the Jesus for you, because he called those that followed him to drop everything and walk away, to show up with miracles and signs and wonders and healings and all kinds of miracles, right? that are weird and you can't explain them, but it's because God loves us that he walks in miracles. Another thing that is that's not my story, and I'm sure we've heard about it, of these stories about missionaries in closed countries where God says, these people need a Bible, but you can't get Bibles in. So they say, yes, Lord. I know that you've called me here. I have this. I have the faith that you're going to do what you said you're going to do and that you are who you say you are. And they go to the border, and their story is that God blinds these guards at the border, or he supernaturally makes a way for them to go through with a car that's not working. Whatever it is, but there is story after story after story. Sometimes on this side, it's weird, and it's like, thank you, Jesus, for this gold dust today. Why not? And sometimes it's life and death for someone's spirit through Bibles in a closed country, right? But God wants to encounter his people with miracles, and what I know, just like the example I gave, I have never seen or heard someone that sustained miracles like that, because that's not God's heart, right? If I bought diamonds for Breezy every single day, it'd be super cool for about a week. But after a while, it's like, all right, I get it. And so that's the same heart of God as he pours out his miracles. And we say yes to him, because who doesn't want good gifts? And the Father desires to pour out good gifts on those who love him. And sometimes those who don't. But he desires our hearts. When God shows up to give gifts of miracles, it is to reveal himself as mighty and as and worthy. But we have to say yes. All right. We're running out of time, but I'm going to talk real quick about the gift of giving. And it's like, what? How does this work? Right? Why is this a part of it? And these three together are so interesting, because it's like faith is the initial spark. The miracles are the external step. And giving is a sacrificial seed. It's something that we have to pour out of something that makes us comfortable in our lives, right? If we have money in the bank, we're all good. But Jesus calls those who give and it hurts the ones that give more than all, right? If I am rich and I give more than someone who's not rich, but it doesn't really hurt me, that person who gave and it hurt, that's what God looks at, because it's a heart issue. In Luke 21, the widow with the two mites gave, and then all of these rich men gave. Does everyone know that story? So Jesus is looking onto the temple and sees two groups of people giving, and he's saying, that lady who gave equivalent of two pennies, but it hurt, she is the one that gives more than all. And so for us, and this is not a pool, guys, I just want to say this right off the bat. This is not a pool to increase the coffers of Restoration Fellowship. This is a plea from heaven saying, give until it hurts at wherever God is calling you to give, because then he can pour out blessings for his kingdom and his purposes, right? I know there's a lot of prosperity gospel going around, but if you give, you're going to get that jet. And you're going to have a really nice house and a really nice life. The kingdom is saying, if you give, I will give everything that you need to further my kingdom, because you're faithful and you're a good steward. So that's what we're talking about here. Now, are we all called to live in poverty? No, this is not what I'm saying. So get this balance of, we're not doing this for prosperity, and we're not giving everything until forced poverty. We're right here in the middle where we're saying yes to the Lord. Like we just discussed, if we can put ourselves in situations by and not abandoning divine wisdom, then he, as the Lord, has an opportunity to show up. To be poor in spirit is to realize that we have lack, right? And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew 5. So if we say, God, I'm going to give, even if I don't have, or I don't have enough to make rent, but you call me to give, I'm going to, through faith, say yes to you. God, you're going to have to show up now, right? So this gift of giving is those that have this supernatural joy. And again, this lack of fear to say, God, you got it all. Whatever you need, I'm going to give it to you. And I know we have people that have the gift of giving in this place because I know some of you. And it's this tension of life, right? Of we want to have a really good and comfortable life and we want to believe and obey God. And he's calling us into that. I know a few guys in the business world that love the Lord, and two in particular that are now billionaires, but but their goal in life is to give it all away. And where it started was a time where they were on the, both of them that I'm thinking of right now, both of them were on the brink of bankruptcy and on the brink of losing their literal minds from stress of business. And in that, like, so Terry Looper, he wrote the book, The Sacred Pace. And he owned a company called Texon, is a big oil and gas company. And he was in the hospital with a mental breakdown, and God broke into his hospital and says, I need everything from you. I need your whole life. I need your family. I need your business. And he's like, and I want half. I want half of everything, split down the middle. So as you receive profit, half of it goes to me. And so he said yes to the Lord in that moment. That was a little more than 10%, right? He says, I want half. And he was on the brink of bankruptcy. So he said, yes, Lord, you have my whole life because I desire you more than this kingdom that I'm building. And so he said yes, and he said yes, and he kept giving and giving and giving. And God grew his business to where he sold it last September for like $3 billion. And I had breakfast with him a couple weeks ago, and he's trying to figure out how to give more. He's trying to lessen his lifestyle so he can give more. That dude has the gift of giving, not because of how much he gives, but God found someone faithful to say, man, if I give this guy $1 billion, he's not going to squander it on himself. He's going to say, yes, Lord, where do you want it to go? Who, right? If I put myself in this situation, I have a serious doubt of like, man, if someone handed me $1 billion, could I do that? Could I give it to the kingdom? Could I have a pure heart that said yes to the Lord? So that's on the extreme level. But then you have this over here where someone can barely make rent and they're showing up every day. They're buying meals. They're giving food. It's the unnamed people over here. And again, this is probably the one that God looks at the most and says, bless you. But the gift of giving, if you were someone that seems like you see a need before everyone else, of like if you see a family in need and you're like, why is no one seeing this? Is everyone asleep? Why aren't you seeing this? That's the gift of giving. So my caution to you, if you have this gift, do not be frustrated with the body of Christ if they don't see what you're seeing. If you're seeing it and you feel like you're the first one, I'm gonna venture to say that God is calling you into being the one that is gonna give. Well, I can't do it. They need so much. Is God faithful? Is he good? Is he kind? Will he take care of you like he does the lilies of the field? Absolutely. Are you going to give him an opportunity to? Ooh, got silent. Right? That's all of these gifts of, are you going to give him an opportunity to? If you have the gift of prophecy, are you going to give the Lord an opportunity to speak through you to edify the church? In the gift of giving, are you going to allow God to work through your finances or work through the skills of your hands to say, I am going to show up? It is not by the awesome nature of Terry Looper that gives all this money away. It's God has showed up in that man's life. He should be destitute and in a crazy house. But because of God and his faithfulness, he did that. What is he going to do with you? What is he going to do with your finances? Guys, we have, you guys, the gift of giving. A lot of this I'm speaking to the choir because, like, we see it. Everybody that comes in and looks at our finances of Restoration Fellowship, they are blown away. They're like, first off, how do you guys have so much wealth that comes through here? And it's like, I mean, look around. We don't have these billionaires that come into our house. We have simple people that say yes to the Lord, and it's shown through the kingdom work through our finances. And so our job as Restoration Fellowship is to say yes to the Lord. God, where do you want your money to go? The food pantry that was here, it got so big, we had to make a new ministry out of it and move it offsite. That's the gift of giving that God has chosen for this house. And the more that we say yes to him, the more that we're going to start sending out to the earth. And we already do, guys. So this motive thing, all right. This motive, this generosity that talks about in Romans 12, this word that should ingrain you is the simplicity, the sincerity of mind to say, God, I'm giving you everything that I have, all of my finances. Those with the gift of giving have this discerning aspect where they know the spiritual radar of knowing where to move finances. Again, guys, if you have this, listen to the wisdom of your gut because God has given you a gift. Now, again, if someone doesn't agree with your gift, there's no offense. It's move on. Exceptional stewardship. God is calling you with this gift to have exceptional stewardship in your life with finances. He's calling all of us, right? But specifically those that are operating in this gift, as the more resources get poured out to you, the more that is required for your stewardship to say yes to the kingdom. Okay. All right, wrapping it up. So the conclusion is this, is God wants to pour out his love and good gifts because he's a good father. He desires to be close to us. He desires to give us good gifts and that we can walk in faith and say yes. So just stepping out there and doing it. In James 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of a first fruits of his creation. So he's pouring out these blessings for us. Let's go ahead and stand up. Bethany, if you want to come up and start playing. Where'd she go? Oh, I see her back there. That was a lot of information. Thanks for staying with me. So today, for ministry, if you feel like, as I've been talking, and there's been like a tightness or a caution in your spirit, of like, ooh, this is dangerous. I don't know about this. And you're thinking back to a situation that you had. What we feel like is God wants to smooth that callous moment that happened in your life. I know I have some in my life of being a little afraid to walk in faith or to see miracles again or to walk in being exposed in my finances. But God desires to smooth this thing out for you, to heal that area so that you can say yes to the Lord, that he is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do. Right? Otherwise, we are in a powerless religion. And guys, that's not what I'm here for. And I know that's not why you're here. Because you're here. You've gave up your Sunday morning on a beautiful day to say yes to the Lord. This is the first walk of faith, is saying yes to being in community. And as we are around each other, we will sharpen each other. We will push each other further. And all we have to do is say yes. So if God didn't move in a certain way that you expected, or if he did and you didn't expect that, and it caused some questions in your heart, he wants to deal with that today. So ministry team, we're going to have, let's see, who's on our ministry team? Just raise your hand. Okay. Loves, I'm going to have you guys in the back because it's pretty tight up here. So we'll have a couple in the back. We have a couple up here. Are you guys on? Oh yeah, Breezy's over here. So just take a moment. We're going to go into some worship. And just bring this before the Lord and ask, okay? Amen.